Hi, everyone. Welcome to Rich Single Mama TV. I'm your host, Samantha Gregory, the founder of richsinglemama.com. And I am so excited today that our show is going to be featuring a guest that I know you never forget. As a matter of fact, our show today is going to be dealing with daddy issues. And our guest is therapist Natalie Alexander. Welcome, Natalie. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Samantha, for inviting me. I really appreciate it. This is exciting.
Yes, absolutely. I am always excited to talk about really deep issues, and hopefully this conversation is going to be eye-opening for all of our listeners, and if they are dealing with these same issues, that they'll find the help and start seeking the healing that they need in order to live a full life. So I'm just going to kind of just do my normal, so tell me about you. Who are you? So we already know you're Natalie Alexander, but tell us more about who you are, where you're from, and what you specialize in as a therapist.
All right. Natalie Alexander. I am a licensed professional counselor here in Georgia. Recently moved from Madison, Alabama. Licensed over there as well. However, I moved from Toronto, Canada to Huntsville, Alabama. And my counseling career unofficially started when I was in my early 20s. And just kind of pondering life, pondering the issues that my family was experiencing at the time. And really, that was unofficial. And then during that time, people would come to me and just kind of pour their hearts out to me. And I would somehow have the answers that would kind of quell their fears and provide some kind of direction for a lot of people. And it really wasn't until maybe about 13 or just over 10 years ago that it occurred to me that I should probably look into counseling. And I went into it and realized that I do have a gift, and I my heart is to help people heal and to start them on their journey towards life and healing.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. I totally get it. Being somebody who, because I mean, obviously you're a great listener, and that's what most people need when they're seeking advice and healing. And that's, so I really appreciate you. And I'm glad you are walking in your calling, because it truly is. It's truly a calling to be able to help people.
Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. So the topic today is daddy issues. And so I want to find out from you why this topic, because I know we've had some conversations in the past, as for our listeners who didn't know. We've had some issues in the past. Natalie shared with me that she is focusing on daddy issues because this is such a profound topic that's affecting so many people. So tell me about why, in your own words, you chose to get into this specific niche or area of focus in your counseling.
So that was the part of the question that my introduction that I didn't expound on. At this time in my career, relationships, couples, marriage relationships, and not even marriage, but just relationships in general, is my niche right now, my specialty, where I'm finding the most success, as it were, where people are actually learning how to communicate with one another and learning how to one another in a healthy way. All right. So how daddy issues plays in is that a lot of the problems that people are facing these days is connected to the lack of the father figure in the home, emotionally and or physically. So a lot of times I get couples where the African-American male loves his wife and wants to be with his wife, but he perpetually feels disrespected and just and feel like he's doing his best, and what is her problem? And inevitably, we get back to, you know, tell me about your father, or where was your father? And then either he will try to be defensive and wall up with us, myself and his wife, or he'll allow himself to be a little bit more transparent and share with us that his father was not there and his mother raised him and did her best. And therein we can get some understanding and insight on his perspective and why he often feels disrespected or why he feels like his wife can never be satisfied or things of that nature. But the thing is, Samantha, this daddy issue thing, this daddy wound thing is so deep. I came across some individuals whose, you know, fathers were not present, and it contributed to this need for comfort, this need, this drive for acceptance or validation, which if they are not aware to look for it in their marriage relationship, they'll go outside of the marriage relationship and try to find it somewhere else, which is infidelity, mm-hmm. cheating, that kind of thing, and it causes a much larger problem. It's so deep and vast and complex, this daddy issue.
I can imagine, and I think maybe almost all people deal with daddy issues in some shape or form, but can you tell me mm-hmm. what are some of the, or for lack of a better word, symptoms that show up in a relationship, or even with someone who's trying to just go through life? But I think most of the times it shows up in relationships. So what are some of the symptoms that they may not be aware of, but it's almost like presenting itself in a relationship?
From a woman's perspective, she finds herself overwhelmed. She finds herself feeling like she has to do everything all the time. She feels like life has to be a certain way. And just often feeling lonely, often feeling insecure about her beauty and about her self-worth, mm-hmm. and seeks to find self-worth in relationships that she would not, would rather not choose to be in. Mm-hmm. Just kind of making sacrifices to her own self-worth just to gain that sense of being wanted. Mm-hmm. and being needed, because what's common is, we are socialized to take care of other people. We're socialized to be nurtured. And so the other thing is, we may find a man who, on the other side of the coin has mommy issues. And because we're socialized to be nurtured, because we want to be needed, because we want to have a sense of value, which we did not get from our father, we find a man who has mommy issues and be fulfilled through that. The catch is, if he has mommy issues, he's still looking for his mom, and he'll go outside of the marriage and keep searching, which is, a whole other situation to be addressed.
Right. And I think you even already kind of talked about some of the symptoms that show up with men in the relationship, not feeling respected, et cetera. Are there any other symptoms that kind of show up as well?
Yes, for men, it's a deep, it's a profound sense of a lack of identity. Mm. I'm trying to remember what it was I read or I saw. It was a Red Table Talk with the gentleman, the comedian from In Living Color, and I wish I could, forgive me, I can't remember his name. I want to say Davidson is his last name. And he talked about growing up, having been adopted by a white family, and his mother, adoptive mother, moved him to a predominantly black area so that he can connect to his black community. Mm-hmm. And he said he was walking down the street, and somebody was trying to pick on him. Somebody's trying to bully him. And this big black man came out the house and said, "Leave him alone," and stuck up for him. And he said it was that day that he was comfortable in his skin. Mm-hmm. And I liken that experience to when another man validates another man or a boy, therein he feels comfortable in his skin. He can now stand in his maleness and in his manhood and do what needs to be done in life. But if a boy or an adolescent does not get that validation, he is lost and he is winging it in relationships and in life. Now, there are things that in North America, men are socialized to do. What is that? Work.
Yep.
Have sex, make children, and that's about it. They're not socialized to communicate verbally. They are allowed to control with their anger. They are not allowed to cry. You know, in certain communities, they are also socialized to be academic, intellectually inclined, pragmatic. In other communities, we've got, you know, in church, religious communities, they are allowed to be religious. However, and therein they find their sense of value and worth in the other males in that particular community. So one more thing that I've observed with men as it pertains to daddy issues, we have communities that are growing, gangs that are growing in the Georgia area, as I understand it. They grow because if the man, the father, is not in the house, our young boys are finding men in the street. Mm-hmm. And where these boys get a chance to prove themselves, they prove their manhood, they prove their strength by any means necessary to get the validation from the old G. And I said it, and look, I articulated it. It's not old G, it's old OD, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
But by any means, right? By any means necessary, they will take bullet wounds to go to jail, mm-hmm. so that when they're in prison, they get the validation that they crave from other men for doing this kind of thing because the father has not been in the home.
Mm. Wow, that is so deep. And I was just, even as you were talking, I was thinking about the whole word validation and how without that validation you have no kind of identity, you're lost. And then going back, thinking about how there are certain cultures that have rites of passage that help the adolescents become men or move into manhood. Yes. Can you kind of talk about that and how just that juxtaposition of cultures that do have these rites of passages versus those that don't, and just the difference in it?
There is a book by the name of Fire in the Belly.
Hmm.
And once again, my memory fails me. I don't remember the name of the author, but if you're able to just look for the book Fire in the Belly, it's written by a man for men. And this rites of passage, and he talks in detail about it. I'm just going to touch on it. This rites of passage that happens in certain cultures is where, at a certain age, the boy is taken from his mother
mm-hmm.
by his father out into the wilderness to become a man, as it were. Manhood, masculinity is conferred on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back, this boy, to his mother, a man, having done whatever the ceremony entails, if it's circumcision or if it's walking mm-hmm. on hot coals or killing an animal or something of that nature. He comes back. But the process that I want you to focus on is that he is taken from his mother by his father, away from his mother,
mm-hmm.
and after a time brought back.
Mm.
So check this out. Because there is no man in the house, this young boy has to stay with his mother all of the time because she's a parent.
Mm-hmm.
She has to take care. She has to work jobs. So she ends up being the person holding him accountable and trying to make him a man and trying to make him responsible, which is confusing and stressful for our boys.
Mm-hmm.
Because developmentally speaking, what I've learned is that from adolescence up to young adulthood, boys need their fathers. They mm-hmm. don't need their mothers, nor do they want their mothers, okay? And during this time frame, you know, moms feel like we have to start yelling, or we have to start cussing, or we have to just get really aggressive, which imagine how stressful that is for this mm-hmm. poor young boy who has learned his mother to be nurturing and playful and fun all up until that time. And so now she's fussing at me, she's cussing me, and I don't want to hear it. And mm-hmm. now I am, now I, as the boy, I'm mad and I'm getting aggressive, but I don't know what to do with this because this lady's acting like she doesn't like me. And right now I don't like her. So where am I going to go? To the street where somebody likes me, or to school, mm-hmm. or to the wrong crowd where people like me and are going to accept me for where they are, for who I am, as opposed to a father staying in the home and being in the home where mom can say, honey, take this here, your boy child. And, you know, he's not listening to me, where he can learn, son, this is not how you treat your mother. And this is also can be a rite of passage in North America, in mm-hmm. our culture, where dad could say, son, let me pull you away out of this room, out of your mother's reach, and we can talk now. I need to tell you that you don't disrespect your mother. This is my wife or my girlfriend, mm-hmm. and this is not how you speak to the woman that I love, and this is not how you speak to the woman that you love, the woman you love, even if she's asking you to do something you don't want to do, and A, B, C, D, and so on and so forth. He is taught and mentored on how to interact with a woman. Unfortunately, the reality is they are taught, like I said before, sex, make babies. And sex has become a vehicle through which our men express their emotions, right, rather than verbalizing their anger or being productive with it, you know, in several instances, mm-hmm. not across the board, obviously, because we have angry football players who take it out on the field, and we have angry musicians who take it to the, you know, to the drum kit or whatever. But rather than doing that, you know, I've interacted with males who have told me that when they are angry, they find a girl, they find a woman or a female, and they smash, for lack of a better word. And that's how they get it off. That's how they release.
Mm-hmm.
Pornography is another symptom or outcome of a lack of a father. Why? Because this relationship between mother and son sometimes becomes so enmeshed and confusing that they have this pent-up resentment or negative emotion. They don't know what to do with it. So that when they see on a screen two people acting like they love each other or acting like they're having sex or even having sex in these pornography videos, there's an opportunity for an erection, mm-hmm. if I may speak candidly,
mm-hmm.
and release,
right.
Ejaculation release. And so... And then follows is the guilt. I shouldn't be doing this. What kind of boy am I? What kind of man am I? I've got to mm-hmm. keep this a secret. But this is how it helps my brain, because, you know, it releases endorphins and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, just the explanation of what's happening in the mind, what's happening even in the heart, because, you know, without that release, that male, healthy male, I'm going to specify healthy male in their life, it's very hard to know what to do with all of these thoughts and feelings and not build up the resentment toward the mother, which translate into resentment toward pretty much all women. And, you know, it just becomes a vicious cycle. So even with that being said, I don't want to give all of this away because I know you're writing a book. But I do want to kind of touch on what happens, or how can, I have two questions. How can a single mother, such as myself, who has a son, help their children deal with absent father and move into a space of, just good mental health, despite the absence of the father, so they don't have the daddy issues that leads to more pervasive problems?
So I'm glad that's a good question. You want to provide, first of all, your son with a male mentor and show him and teach him that that there is somebody who can reflect his masculinity, who can reflect his maleness.
Mm-hmm.
In a relational way. Oftentimes we like to encourage, you know, coach, football coach, basketball coach, which is good to a certain degree, but we want to find somebody that is relational, mm-hmm. that will actually serve as a mentor, a life mentor. But here's the other part of it. As single moms, we have to deal with our own resentment towards the father of our children.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to take a deep breath, do our own work, and accept the fact that this relationship with our child's father did not work for whatever reason, and make peace with that. I meet single women who are angry with the father of their children because she wants him to be a father to the child, and he's not, and he's fathering other people's children, and look what he's doing, and look what he's not doing, which, you know, your children feel. They feel that energy.
Mm-hmm.
They feel that energy. And so doing your own work with your own therapist, making peace with that, and then providing a male mentor who is relational to your son is the first step. If your son's father is living and close by and emotionally capable of such interactions, you know, make contact with the father and ask, you know, I'd like for you to still have some kind of contact. If the father's not willing, then the father's not willing.
Mm-hmm.
That's another point of acceptance. And then kind of processing that with your son. And that would definitely be a loss that your son would naturally grieve, and allowing your son the space to grieve it, to go through the stages of grief and make meaning out of his daddy absence,
mm-hmm.
and heal from that absence, and make meaning from his own life as connected to the male mentors that you've connected him with.
Great advice. I love that. And I've tried to do a lot of that. And it's also, even another point of that is having a really good support system in your extended family, you know, with people who are emotionally capable, because I think that's a key word.
Yes.
And then being able to, them being willing to actually be a mentor as well. I mean, whether they're an uncle or whether they're a grandfather or whether they're, you know, a cousin that's older or what have you. I think, you know, that those may be some uh-huh. options. But again, key word, emotionally capable.
Right. And thank you for emphasizing that, because what comes to mind when I talk about emotionally capable, I'm talking about a man that's able to be angry and show what it looks like in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. And a man that is able to see the tears of a woman and not panic and freeze or harden up, mm-hmm. but cry with her or move into her space and offer comfort for her. A man that's able to say, to be okay if a woman says, no, I don't need your help, I can do this by myself, and not feel crushed or rejected because she has refused his help. That kind of wholeness is important, that will help contribute to a healthy boy, a healthy adolescent, and a healthy man.
Awesome. So when let's say a man or even a woman reaches a crisis point, and because a lot of times people aren't aware that all of the chaos in their life and the things that are happening in their life stems from daddy issues. So when they finally get to that place of, okay, maybe there's some issues, they finally seek counseling, and the counselor, like you, therapist, says, you know, you might need to process some daddy issues you might be having. How does he or she go through that process? What are some of the steps? Because I know you have some steps. What are some of those steps?
Yes. I do ask my client, you know, tell me more about your father, and, you know, he's not here. He was dot, dot, dot. And I allow them to tell their story. And after their story, depending on how emotionally available her father is or his father is, I ask what the client thinks about reaching out to their father, reaching out to her father. And if it's possible, we'll talk writing a letter first. Because if she's gone this long without addressing the issue, we're going to write a letter first. We're going to write it. And if she's willing, we'll talk about the letter in the next counseling session. If she feels like she has a stable enough relationship with her father where she can send it to him through the mail, then I'll have her send it, and we wait for the response. In our counseling session, I also talk about best case scenario and worst case scenario. What's the best case scenario in his response? What's the worst case scenario in his response? And we hash that out so that we are prepared for both responses if, you know, one happens or the other happens. Mm-hmm. So far, I've had more best case scenario outcomes than worst case scenario. I've had a couple worst case scenario outcomes, mm-hmm. But I've had more best case scenario outcomes. So, we do that, and some women are just not willing. Mm-hmm. Some women are not willing because naturally children want their parents. They want their biological parents. And if biological father is not emotionally mature enough to own his absence, mm-hmm. and to take responsibility for the pain that he has caused his child, then I will not ask them to reach out and make contact. That's just a no-go, and we will begin the grief process, mm-hmm. and the space to grieve that loss and make meaning of his loss and begin to look at moving forward and healing that wound and just living life with the tools that she has to live her best life without her father.
Awesome. I love that you do give them options, because I, you know, and not try to force anything, because people are only ready for what they're ready for. And even in the dealing with the best case scenario and the worst case scenario, and I think a lot of times we dwell as humans on the worst case scenario.
On the worst case scenario. And I think we dwell on the worst case scenario because we've been hurt for so long and disappointed for so long. We've become all too familiar with the worst case scenario. And so it's kind of like, that's what we expect. And so, yeah, the worst case scenario, they've got that detailed out, and we know what that looks like. We're going to talk about that to probably listen and just realize that he didn't know and he wasn't aware of the pain that he caused and that his absence has caused.
Wow.
Next step, one other step is, and I talk about this actual in my TEDx talk, that I ask my client to hear her father's story. Listen to his story, because there's a reason why he was absent. There's a reason why he chose not to be in the home or not to stay with her mom. And listen to it and see if you can gain some understanding so that they can have the opportunity to bridge and create a new bond between her and her dad now that she understands where he's coming from, and see if they both are willing to start today and move forward into a different kind of relationship. I tell you, though, that sometimes the hurt is so deep, and sometimes the hurt is so deep because mom mm-hmm. has been toxic, and mom has fueled a lot of negativity into the child and has created a space where dad can do no right. And we have to discuss that at times.
Wow, that's so true. I mean, I see it every day. I hear it every day in like a lot of forums where moms are conversating, and there's so much negativity and vitriol and just hatred, and not just even in these real life forums, but in the media, in television, in so many different outlets where the mother has poisoned, for lack of a better word, the father, the child against the father. Some of it is intentional, some of it is unintentional, some of it's because they are dealing with their own pain and haven't resolved that. And it's just, it's sad. And I know for me, I decided when things didn't work out with my child's father that I would not, and I told him this, I said, I will not speak ill of you. I won't even celebrate you, but I will have her and him come to their own conclusion about who you are as a person. And I felt like that was at the time the right thing to do because I didn't want to plant seeds in my children's minds about their father or anything, because it would be, I think, more detrimental for them. Because let's say he turned out not to be that, what I said, you know, that would backfire on me, but also just destroy any chance of a relationship.
Keep in mind that this man that you broke up with is their father, not your father. Mm-hmm. So your experience, your seeds that you're afraid of not planting are valid. They're real.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a good mate. He was not a good boyfriend, good husband. He was horrible and treated you horribly. And so that's why I talk about finding a professional or finding some good friends with whom you can actually share this stuff with and throw those seeds out somewhere and just get it out of your system so that when they ask about their father, that you can give them some kind of information in a way that they understand that, you know, your dad's not here. You know, he wanted to be a dad or didn't, or whatever it is that is conducive to their language and to their age. But to say nothing at all still perpetuates the absence because they don't know why he left and they don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. They just know he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that perspective. He doesn't stop being their father, even though he stopped being your mate, your husband, your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Very good. Good to know. I mean, later on, but it's still good to know. Still good to know. I mean, fortunately, there was still some, you know, communication between them. And so wasn't completely absent, just not in the home.
So from
there, I know you talked about the grieving process. And I know that that's a whole nother, I mean, there's steps to grieving. And so can you kind of briefly talk about why it's important to grieve? Because I think people are afraid of that word. And only think of death. So explain why it's important to grieve a relationship or a person, even though they may still be living.
Right. Because grief, it's primarily known as connected to death. Mm-hmm. But when we think about grieving the absence of your father, that's the death of a relationship that's the death of that relationship. When he leaves or when he was just not available, that just never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's perpetuated when you go to school and there's daddy-daughter dance or daddy-son football game or all of that. And you don't have that. That is a loss.
Mm-hmm.
And it speaks to, and it's interpreted in many ways, in many people, as rejection, which fuels anger. It's interpreted as abandonment. It's interpreted as not being wanted, rejection. And so the importance of grieving is to allow yourself and allow your children the space to navigate the stages. So navigate the denial of it. A lot of times I come across little children who say, well, my daddy went to the store and my daddy bought me this big truck. Well, we know that your dad's not in the house. And so what are you talking about? So he's in denial. He wants to be like the rest of the kids in his class and have a daddy. So then there's the anger about it, the realization that, oh, my mom is always in my face about something and it makes me mad. Where is this guy that can stick up for me in these situations? Not that mom is being mean and abusive, but that this is what our children feel. And so there's the anger, and then there's the sadness over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the bargaining. If I was a better kid, mm-hmm. if I was good all the time, if I got good grades, then maybe he wouldn't leave. And I'll say this, that I've come across adults who are perfectionists, who have to do everything perfectly, who have developed anxiety because of this need to be perfect, which is connected to the absence of their father. Because mm-hmm. if I was good, he would not have left. If I was beautiful, then he would stay. He would want me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it translates into the way some of our women dress with the you know, just showing a lot and everything else. So the importance to grieve is to come to the place of acceptance, coming to the place of meaning where, okay, he's not here. I'm still a beautiful woman. I'm still intelligent. I'm still capable. And I can meet a man that will treat me well. And I am sad about it sometimes, but this sadness doesn't control how I live my life. And I can now raise a son and raise a boy and know that he is a reflection of the man that has chosen me and whom I have chosen to create a life with mm-hmm. and move forward in life separate from who my father wasn't and who and where my father was or was not.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you for explaining that, because I think that our listeners, you know, really can get some clarity from that process. And like you said, the grieving leads you to acceptance. And then maybe the acceptance can also lead you to, like you said, living your best life. Because a key to a good life is accepting what happened, what didn't happen, and being able to move forward despite all the disappointments and pain and agony and stress, and being able to release all of the perfectionist behavior and the feeling of invalidation and everything. So the release, talk about release for a second.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad because to release it means to let it go, to let it go, let it go. Let go of that anger. Let go of that resentment. Let go of that bitterness. Let go of the belief that all men are no good. All men are selfish. All men are narcissistic. All men only think about themselves. Let it go. Mm-hmm. Because it was only your dad. It was only your dad that was thinking about himself. And maybe he was just trying to do life with the best tools that he had or did not have. Once again, just hearing his story. But let it go. But let it go also means, like the word we used just now, releasing it. Mm-hmm. Releasing it in a way that is therapeutic for you. If it's a hard cry, like that snotty, ugly cry mm-hmm. in a safe place, right? Because here's the other thing about the daddy absence. We have learned as women that we have to be strong. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm a mom whose father was not available, let me back up a little bit. Little girls, well, we all cry, right? Mm-hmm. But little girls have been socialized to be allowed to cry. And so when we cry, we need comfort. And if I'm a mom who did not have a father to comfort me, and I have a daughter, well, I'm not going to offer any comfort to her. I'm going to say, it's all right, hush your mouth. What you crying for? You strong. You got this. Get mm-hmm. back out there. Mm-hmm. So she's going to learn, because mom didn't cry and nobody was ever around to comfort me or mom. Well, she's going to learn that I have to be strong and I have to take care of everything and not myself, because nobody took care of me. So then we get to a point of mental illness, you know, suppressed, depressed, right? Mm-hmm. Depression or the what ifs, like what if, okay, so what if this happens? What if that happens? What if we get robbed? What if we don't have enough food, you know, and all of that. So then it morphs into anxiety and several other illnesses that are connected to this kind of mentality. So to release it and to cry and to scream and to vent, is to just allow yourself to make it through those emotions and onto the other side, where some clarity will come about your life and who you are and what you mean to yourself and what you mean to the people that love you. In which case, yes, there is sunshine, there is rainbow on the other side of all of that.
Yeah. I think that takes an extraordinary amount of courage to get to that place where you're willing to look at the daddy issues, you're willing to look at how it impacted your life, you're willing to look to open up all of those wounds, you know, take off all those dirty bandages and stuff, and just really just, I mean, that's like the scariest thing for a lot of people. I know for me it was, and it just makes you so vulnerable, where, like you just mentioned, you're taught as a woman or a little girl, at some point when the daddy's not there, you have no one to comfort you, then you either learn on your own or your mother tells you to be strong. And so you put this shell over you. And so you never really get to that place of vulnerability and being able to look at the issue. But and then some people get so used to this state of being, it's even harder to, even though life is just completely chaotic, I can't, you know, nothing is happening for you. You just like in this total space of nothing ever goes right for me. But when you're willing to get to that other side of, I need to find out why, and daddy issues have play a huge role, and I'm willing to look at this and really examine this.
Right.
And ignore the people say, just get over it. You got to, like you said, get through it, because, and that is this examination process, this grieving process, all those things. It's just like, oh my God, how am I going to get this? But you do. And like you said, when you get to the other side of that, it's just like my whole life opens up for me. And there is the opportunity for so much love and so much joy and so much connectedness with healthy people.
Yes. And what I want to emphasize here with that is that you don't have to grieve by yourself, and you don't have to do life by yourself. Matter of fact, we were not meant to grieve alone. We were not meant to do life alone. Mm-hmm. A lot of us do life alone, or we've learned that this is how to do life, because the people that were charged with teaching us how to do life just didn't have the tools.
Mm-hmm.
Did not have the wherewithal. And I've seen, you know, mothers who don't have it and often get irritated and frustrated with their children who need them to just be present, to be emotionally present, and they just don't have it. I'm reading a book called Making Meaning, and it's The Sixth Stage of Grief by David Kessler.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about his own experience of the death of his mother, and how his father, he tried to grieve in the presence of his father. He asked his father a question, and his father was like, go to bed, like, leave me alone, and just shut it down. And that's a great example of the absence of his father, the emotional absence of his father. And of course, that generation, we're talking in the 70s, I want to say 70s, 80s, early 80s. In that generation, nobody was emotionally available. Well, not nobody, but that was just not a thing that was encouraged or known. So the point that I'm making is, we want to be good parents. We want to teach our children to work hard, do good in school, treat everybody with love and kindness, but we don't have the tools to teach them to be present.
Mm-hmm.
Or to experience our negative emotions without judging ourselves as being bad people for being angry, or in some religious communities being sinful because we're angry.
Mm-hmm.
Note, it is not sinful to experience anger at a situation or at an individual, be it your father or not. It totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation. This reminds me of a conversation that I had with a church member several years ago, where he was an older gentleman, and James Bowman, as a matter of fact, he sat down, he said, Natalie, oh my goodness, the devil was, he was trying to get to me today. I said, why? Tell me about it. I was pissed. I was so angry. Why were you angry? Well, because I was at my mom's house, and my dad wasn't there. And I was like, wait a minute, the devil was nowhere near that situation. You should be angry. You should be angry that your father was not there because your father was there.
Right.
And so, you know, that to say that I want to be careful that we don't spiritualize our negative emotions mm-hmm. as it pertains to the absence of our fathers. We should be upset. It is very upsetting. It's distressing. And so to encourage you to feel it, but don't feel it by yourself. There is somebody out there that you can trust to express that and share that with, that will hear you and that will empathize with you and walk that road with you, mm-hmm. be it me, therapist, or another therapist, or a grandma, or somebody in your world that can come alongside of you. It's very, very important in the healing process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. I know that for this show, you have been so gracious and focused on daddy issues for women, but I know that in your upcoming book, you're going to be focusing on daddy issues for men specifically. So I'm excited about that. So I don't want to give the whole book away, but I would love for you to just kind of, you know, explain it. You kind of through this entire interview talked about a little touch on the male side of things. But in your book, who is it specifically for? Even though I know it's written for men, but who is it specifically for? And can single moms glean some wisdom from this book when it comes out?
Absolutely. Single moms can glean. It's for everybody. It's for the people who recognize the daddy wound and that there is something missing. It's for people who find themselves at a wall in their relationships and just can't understand why they're not able to interact with their loved one in a way that is nurturing and loving. And if they're willing to heal and to walk the journey, then my book would be a wonderful resource for that. So definitely for women, definitely for men. I provide metaphors and cases of situations that the reader will be able to resonate with and see themselves, also to attach themselves to that situation and to the process of healing, mm-hmm. Healing the daddy wound, where the wound is no longer so sensitive, but maybe it'll be like a spot or a dark spot, you know, where you have a scar sometimes,
right?
And you see that, oh, right, that's where my daddy wound was, but mm-hmm. I'm healed and it's not so sensitive anymore. I don't jump back and I don't recoil when I hear him, when I see him, or when I see a girl with her dad, or when I, you know, I go to a wedding and her dad is walking her down the aisle, but mine didn't, you know, it doesn't hurt so deeply anymore. It's a wound that's healed and I'm okay. And because I've heard his story, because I've grieved the pain, because I've made meaning of my life now, I can live now and I can enjoy a healthier relationship as disconnected from my daddy wound and connected to my significant other.
Oh, that's so wonderful. I can't wait. I cannot wait for the book to come out. And I know that just our listeners, when it comes out, because I know it's coming out probably in the spring, toward late spring, summer.
Yes.
So I will definitely have a link to the book when it comes out. And Natalie,
Thank you. I am
so appreciative of you being here and for you sharing about daddy issues and how it impacts our lives, but how it can also improve our lives once we get through the process of healing. So thank you again for being with us today.
Thank you, Samantha, so much for inviting me and for giving me this chance to share my heart and my passion
with
you. I appreciate it. And I'm thanking all the viewers and the listeners. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This is exciting.
Absolutely. And everyone, thank you again for listening to Rich Single Mama TV and podcast. I will have the show notes on the website. You'll be able to see it in the link below. And I hope that you kind of take these nuggets of information that you learned from the show today. If you're dealing with daddy issues, if you have not even thought about having, that you might have them, might think about it and start developing a plan and building up your courage to face them. That's really, really important. So take care. Until next time, I hope that you have a wonderful day, and we will see you again next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.